Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3. We've been looking at verse number 13, which says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Now, we've been looking over the last couple of episodes at this issue of being established and how the members of the body of Christ need to make sure that they are grounded in the truth of the information that the Apostle Paul has given us for this dispensation today. This being the responsibility that we have, knowing that, you know, an individual first needs to be saved. They need to put their trust in the gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and putting our trust in that and that alone, giving us our salvation for today. Once that occurs, the next thing that needs to happen is an individual coming to the knowledge of the truth, building themselves up in the doctrine that's been given to us. And that's the responsibility that we see when the Apostle Paul tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that there's going to be a work that's involved in us building up that truth and getting to the point of where we can be identified in this word that the Apostle Paul uses when he says that we are established. Now, the last couple episodes we've looked at some of the things of that process, and I want to start today with the idea of what are some of the things that can actually start to try to pull someone away from being established in that manner. Let's start over here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And we see the Apostle Paul saying some things as he's writing to Timothy to give the idea of what individuals will be having to deal with in their walk. And we're going to start here, verse number 3. Of 1 Timothy chapter number 1 says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." Now we're going to stop here for a moment. We're going to continue on going farther down in this chapter, but you see how there's the issue of the godly edifying, which the Apostle Paul is making a reference to, that needs to occur, and how there's these things, he says, the fables and endless genealogies which minister questions. Now, when we look at that idea of a fable, you know, a fable, this is part of man's philosophy of where a story is being used to try to teach some good thing that a person needs to do. But the truth of what's being said, even though it might be something that is good for a person to do, it's not information coming from the Word of God. It's not God's instructions. It's man giving that wisdom, man trying to teach man how to do things. And if you rely on man's wisdom, it will never measure up to the wisdom given to us by God. We see how there's this issue of endless genealogies. You know, and that would make a reference to some things related to Israel's program, because Israel had all the things related to the idea of the genealogies, because they had to keep tracing back to which tribe were they keeping the bloodlines pure of things? And so you see those things actually coming up, but then you see how Paul's going to continue on with the issue of things. Verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. For we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, Paul brings up this issue of individuals trying to pull themselves back under the law. And that is something that we see so many individuals today try to do, is that rather than relying on the gospel, the grace of God, rather than relying on the doctrine given to us by the Apostle Paul for us to live by today, that individuals want to go back and put themselves under a system that has nothing to do with who we are. The Gentiles were never given the law. This is not something that we are supposed to be trying to follow, because the reality of things is, even if you say it was given to us, which it definitely wasn't, but no man could possibly keep the law. The law was that covenant that was made with Israel, and how if they were going to follow that, they would have been made a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Promises, again, having nothing to do with who the Gentiles are, having nothing to do with the members of the body of Christ. When an individual puts themselves under the law and tries to follow it, they're not doing things that are pleasing to God. They're having an impact on who they are as a member of the body of Christ today, and destroying any sort of good that they possibly could have done during this dispensation. Now, this is what Satan wants us to do, because Satan wants us to be non-effective for God. And if a member of the body of Christ is being established, being built up in the doctrine, they will realize very quickly that they don't have to be under the law, and they won't be pulled under that system by individuals who are trying to teach it. And this is really the majority of what you see in Christianity today, is the idea of putting someone under the law. And even if somebody, a lot of these people will say, well, if somebody is saved by grace, then they'll say, well, you need to put the person under the law in order to get them to walk right. And so they're still, no matter what, putting them under that law system, putting under that performance that was never designed for us, something that's not going to establish or build up an individual. It's just going to leave them in the state of where nothing is happening related to their growth. Now let's turn over here to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to turn to chapter number 10. And we see Paul here saying, we're going to read just verse 23 out of 1 Corinthians 10. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So, in the dispensation of the grace of God, everything is lawful for an individual to do, because we're not under the things of the law, But we see how it says, all things edify not. And there are things that we can do that, you know, it's not a law that we would break that would put us in a position to where we've committed a sin that would separate us from God, because the issue of sin has already been taken care of, because the law has been removed and we don't have to worry about those things. But if we do some of those things that Paul says that they add, you know, that all things edify not, that these things, one, they don't build ourselves up, but also they can have an impact on other individuals as they're watching us, seeing those things going on. And part of our responsibility is building each other up, so that way individuals are not being pulled away from the sound doctrine and being pulled away in, you know, either into things that are not for us, or being pulled away into things that don't even relate to what the Word of God actually says. Now let's turn over to Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to see how one of these things that Paul starts to describe related to the gifts here, and we're going to read verses from verse 11 down through verse number 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul lists out in verse number 11 a number of these gifts, and that's why it says, and he gave some. You have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, all five of these gifts are all part of one package. And I have to say this because even individuals who understand the Word of God rightly divided will start to come up with this thing of, well, a few of these have been done away with, but the rest of these are still gifts that are there. Now, we know that they're not gifts because of the time element that he gives, you know, in these verses here. But we also see how in Timothy, it starts talking about a person desiring to be a bishop desireth a good work. And then Paul starts to list out some qualifications of those individuals who have that desire to be in the position of a bishop. He doesn't say, you know, that a person who has this desire, you know, well, you have to wait for the gift to come upon you. It's a work. Now, so you see these positions that are part of this gifts that are being talked about. Verse 12 identifies the reason that they were given: the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. So these positions of, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, they were given as being the thing of, okay, they're going to, and we're going to focus on the one, edify the body of Christ. That they were designed to build up the members of the body of Christ. But then verse number 13 gives a time element associated with them, which says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, that unity of the faith, you know, that's how Paul started this chapter, talking about the there's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who above all and through all and in you all. So there's a unity that's there till we all come in that, means that, you know, during the book of Ephesians, you had the ending of, you know, the nation of Israel even being around to where there was any sort of focus on them, because there was still a few members of, you know, Israel's program still left alive. Once the Apostle Paul completed the Word of God, you see that's the responsibility given unto him in the book of Colossians, that the gifts are going to go away. We're going to read that passage in a couple minutes, looking at that, but that's where the unity of the faith is occurring. The knowledge of the Son of God is the fact that we have a completed Word of God that we can rely on, and rather than us needing those gifts to do all those things, we have the Word of God, which is going to function in a manner to give us everything that we need to edify and build each other up. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, because we see that, you know, another one of these gifts had the role of edification being brought into it here. And we're going to read here the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So we see how, again, these issue of these gifts that are going on, and Paul writes what we see here in chapter number 14, because the gifts were still going on at this time, and he has to give them, here's the instructions on how to properly do these gifts if you're going to glorify God in them. But we see how he's contrasting the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy, and saying that the gift of prophecy, which is the giving and confirmation of the Word of God, is what edifies other individuals, but speaking in the unknown tongue is what edifies only the person who's speaking in that tongue. Now, that's why you see how, you know, because of the problems that individuals have related to that gift of tongues, that's why the majority of this chapter actually is spent on how that gift is actually going to be done, because individuals don't do that one properly. You know, even those who are trying to say they're doing it today, they're not following what Paul said, but those who were doing it at that time were not doing it properly. Those who were doing it when the gift of tongues was actually in place were not doing it. Now, we're going to see how Paul's going to identify that these gifts are going away. Let's turn back a chapter now. Now that we've laid out how these gifts, you know, had a role in edification, let's turn back to chapter number 13. And we're going to see how Paul's going to identify the end of these gifts. We're going to start here at verse number 8 of 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to read down through the end of the chapter. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, as you read through this, you see how Paul starts listing out some of the gifts. Now, he just picked a handful of them to mention. You know, other chapters identify more of those gifts. So you see how, you know, prophecy is going to fail, tongues are going to cease. The gift of knowledge, you know, that's not just knowledge in general, that's the gift of knowledge is going to vanish. You know, all that because the knowledge at this time is in part. He says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So when there's something that's come that's perfect, you know, another meaning of that word is complete. You know, that's what perfect means. You know, then that which is in part and all those things what he just listed of what's going to go away, all those things are in part. They're all part of, in verse 11 when it talks about him being a child, that they're the childish things, all those gifts are the childish things. So what we have this is what it in verse number 10 when it says, but when that which is perfect is come. So what is it that is perfect that's going to be coming? Now, individuals will try to say that it's, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ's return, so the gifts have to be there until he returns. Well, that's not what's being made a reference to here, because, you know, he's going on with these things, that, you know, and you can see how that contrast between child and man, and he says, you know, and we even verse 12 says, now I know in part. So there's a thing of knowing things, that's the issue, and the knowledge comes from the Word of God. So the completed Word of God is what is the issue. Once the Word of God is complete, then the gifts are going to cease. That's why you see the things that Paul writes about when he, over in 2 Timothy, that last book that he's writing, that he's telling, you know, giving Timothy the thing of, you know, stir up the gift. You know, it wasn't something that was just prevalent and going on, that there was going to have to be some things that Timothy was going to have to do to keep that gift going as Paul was finishing that final epistle. He tells him to, in chapter 4, when he tells him to do the work of an evangelist. Now, we just read over in Ephesians chapter 4, the issue of how the idea of the evangelist, that was a gift. But now Paul's telling him, saying, it's not no longer going to be a gift that you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to do something that's going to build yourself and others up. Now, the problem that happens so many times is that this establishing, this building up of each other doesn't happen in the manner that it's supposed to occur. And individuals get pulled away by things that they don't understand. They get pulled away by individuals who aren't teaching sound doctrine. They get pulled, you know, because they're not studying things out for themselves. This is the responsibility that each individual has. That's why it says that we're to be a workman in that when Paul's talking about our study, because It's things that we have to do to work. So that way we're not going to be, as when Paul warns about over in the book of Ephesians, when he talks about individuals being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine because they're being pulled away from the things of what the sound doctrinal issues actually would have for us to understand today. Now, next week we're going to finish up some things related to this idea of the establishing that the Apostle Paul wants us to do. So as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have some audio files of past messages. We also have information on how to join our Sunday services live on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything in our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.